KTWE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. President Trump traveling to the site of two disasters. First today to hurricane-battered western North Carolina, then to wildfire-ravaged Southern California, where about a dozen fires started Thursday. Winds calming, but rain in the forecast is bringing fears of mudslides in areas that have burned.
The fires so thoroughly cooked not just the vegetation, but also the soil, that it turned the earth into a kind of quicksand. And that is what we're seeing across Southern California.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Pacific Palisades. The White House this morning says that deportation flights have begun as part of its new mission and troop surge along the border using military aircraft. 1,500 military personnel have been sent to the southern border. Thursday saw ICE immigration raids in cities around the country. The Senate confirmation vote for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth is expected tonight. Senators Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine have said they will not vote for him. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For News from the Center, 107.7 WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. After lawmakers approved a bill to overhaul the state's reading curriculum, Tony Evers signed it into law, but the governor told the state legislature on Wednesday during the State of the State address that the funding has yet to be released by the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
In 2023, lawmakers passed a bill to overhaul how the state teaches reading in public schools. The new system is commonly referred to as the science of reading. It's backed by research and focuses more on phonics. It includes new curriculum and materials and hiring literacy coaches for school districts to use when they need to. Schools started this shift for students in 4K through 3rd grade in the fall, but they're doing it without the money they were expecting from the legislature. When it was passed, Act 20 included $50 million to switch to this new method, but lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee have not released that money. If the $50 million for the new reading materials isn't released by June 30th, it'll go into the state surplus, which is already massive at $4 billion. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Because Act 20 is law, school districts around the state have to pay for the materials and training on their own without any reimbursement by the state. The State Education Convention wrapped up Friday with a keynote speech by Governor Tony Evers, who echoed many of the statements he made during his State of the State address earlier in the week. That included a call for additional mental health funding for children and a demand for the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee to release $50 million in already approved funding for Act 20, the state's mandated overhaul of public school reading programs. The convention itself featured a number of breakout sessions tied to topics like school finance and referendums, as nearly 100 districts are on the ballot this spring across the state asking local taxpayers for more money to favor teachers, operations, and facilities. Other popular topics at this year's convention included school safety initiatives, strategies for hiring and retention, communication and marketing, and artificial intelligence. In addition to breakouts, the state's top educators were also recognized during the convention. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks turned down the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Miami Heat by nearly 30 points, 129-96. Miami suspending former Marquette star Jimmy Butler for missing the team flight to Milwaukee. Butler in a contract dispute with the Heat. Doc Rivers asked if he was surprised about the situation.
No, I don't know if I'm surprised or not. I just hope they find a way through it. I've been through these things before. You know, I was in Philly with Ben Simmons and all that. It's no fun for anyone.
NFL, two players from Wisconsin, among those to be named NFL Defensive Player of the Year, the Steelers' T.J. Watt from Pewaukee, and Eagles linebacker Zach Bond from Brown Deer.
That's really cool, really special. Honestly, not even on the spectrum of a goal of mine. I really just try to be the best player I can be and try to maximize my potential and my ability. It's a lot of credit to the guys up front and the guys on this team for aiding in my success.
That's Zach Bond. The Eagles host the Commanders Sunday at 2 for the NFC title with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a snow shower this afternoon. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, highs near 20 degrees, wind chills around zero. For tonight, some flurries or light snow showers, a low of 16. Partly sunny on your Saturday, highs near 33. For Sunday, sunshine, a high of 28.
Currently, one above.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, a big show on a Friday. Make sure to join us, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, former Wisconsin Badger Brady Ewing, and Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Friday, January 24th. Today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.11. The average price for a dozen of eggs in Wisconsin, $5.09. Hey, if you would like to keep up to date on what is going on around the state of Wisconsin, and in particular in your community, sign up for the Civic Media newsletter. Our mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. Get it all by subscribing to the Civic Media newsletter today. Just go to civicmedia.us/email and sign up. You can also sign up to get podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You can subscribe to our podcasts.
We have two podcasts.
And where would people find them?
Go to civicmedia.us and click on the shows tab, which is in the top right position. And you can find our show, Matinair on Air. And inside the Matinair on Air show, where you can download the episodes, you can also find This Shouldn't Be a Thing episodes as well. Or go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice, look up our name, which is a bit, you know.
It's not, a little tricky. It's M-A-T-E-N-A-E-R.
There you go. And then you can find our shows there.
And if you leave a comment or...
If you leave us a five-star review, that actually helps the show. You will push us up in ratings. You will push us up in findability. So... You know, if we've deserved a five-star review, please do so. If we haven't deserved anything but a five-star review, send all of those to Calvin's personal home address. That
exactly.
is 123 Happy Street. I believe that is in Waterloo, Wisconsin.
There you go. Perfect.
There you go.
We have one of our videos, actually, that's done quite well. At least it's gotten a lot of views.
Yeah.
Calling it doing well might not exactly accurate.
In the land of social media,
yeah.
One would say it's doing quite well. It is our video where we talked about guns and we referenced a Jon Stewart interview with a sitting state legislator
from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. It's currently sitting at 884,000 views.
Wow.
With 35,500 likes and nearly 8,500 comments. And all the comments, Jane, are respectful.
I'm sure they are.
And kind. What's funny is that you constantly said to me, you think they're making fun of us and like telling us to, calling us names and telling us what we can do with ourselves.
Yes.
They're really just arguing with each other.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I will say this, I'm glad you brought this up. There is one slight inaccuracy in that video, and that's on me, is that I said that Australia, when there was a mass shooting there back in the 90s, they banned the guns. They didn't ban guns. You can still get guns in Australia. It's not easy to get them there, But what they did was they banned the guns that were part of that
mass
incident,
shooting,
which were, I believe, automatic weapons and semi, like it was weapons that I don't think we need to be having anyways.
Weapons of war,
weapons that belong on a soldier, not on a guy, you know, who lives out in the suburbs. But that's a wholly different argument. But yeah, it's doing great. And I want to know, are we the first to hit a million? Will we be her first at a million? I don't know.
You can check it out. Where can people find that video?
You can find us on social media. So that's the Instagram page. You can find so Instagram. We're still on Twitter. We're on Facebook, and we're on, and those are the three majors. You can find Matt and Aaron here, all one word, and then you can find us all on Civic Media's YouTube page.
That's one of the easier places to go.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look for us on the Civic Media page on YouTube. And like or leave a comment.
And you can follow us on our own personal stuff, too, because we're
That'd
on
be
the
nice.
Blue Skies and whatnot.
That'd be nice. Wanted to start off, we have Dan Schaefer coming up. He's going to be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour so we can do some recombobulating. But I wanted to start off with, and this will be, we head towards the election on April 1st.
Yeah.
The primary is February 18th.
Correct.
The election is April 1st for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Yes, getting to know Brad. Let's get to know Brad Schimmel, the Republican who is running against Susan Crawford for the next spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court from WPR, Anya Van Wagendonk. With an article today, says dueling Wisconsin Supreme Court adds focus on rape kit backlog. You're going to be hearing a lot about this.
Yes.
As we head towards this election, which, by the way, is going to be here before we know it. And my request to you would be, if you learned something from listening to us, share that.
Yes.
Share that with the people that you know. Share it with your friends and people in your circle, because we all get our news from different sources. It helps. It helps if you share what you know.
I know it's a lot to ask because people are very busy, but we do show notes at the end of the show. Everything we were telling you before about how to find the show on the website, you can do that, and you can find our show notes. You'll find the articles we're referring to, and you can share those articles with your friends and family and get more information from them. Because we're giving you quick overviews of these stories, and a lot of them go deeper. They're much longer.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we always want to make sure that you're getting the full information of what we're referencing.
So these rape kits, this is going to be coming up a lot. You're going to be hearing a lot about this. When Brad Schimmel was attorney general, the backlog of rape kits was about 6,000 when he took office as Wisconsin's attorney general in 2015. Brad Schimmel served until 2019. In a recent campaign ad for him, Mr. Schimmel says his office cleared 4,000 of those rape kits during his time in office. On the other side, Susan Crawford released a different ad focusing on his early years as attorney general, and her ad says he let 6,000 rape kits sit untested for 2 years. So here's breaking this down just a little bit. As of early 2017, when Schimmel was attorney general, his office said the state had cleared 9 of those 6,000 backlogged tests. 9 out of 6,000. This was after the U.S. Department of Justice sent $4 million in grant funds to Wisconsin to help clearing these rape kits. A spokesperson for Brad Schimmel at the time said the Department of Justice was following proper protocols for respecting survivors.
What?
And adhering to the requirements of the grant money. About a year and a half later, much of that backlog had been cleared. Schimmel announced in 2018 that all but 5 of the backlogged rape kits had been cleared using about $7 million in total grant funding. This ahead of his reelection campaign when he ran against Josh Call, who had criticized the way Schimmel handled these backlogged rape kits and ultimately defeated him. Schimmel said in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, we didn't delay anything. We didn't set anything aside. This was done as quickly as possible. Yeah, it seems like he kind of sat on these for months and months and months. And then Josh Call started running ads about this. And then it seemed like there was a little bit of a scramble.
Yeah.
to get these kits cleared.
It wasn't so much. So they were respecting survivors.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm just reading the quotes.
It just seems like a very convenient excuse to me because I've never heard that used by anybody. I've never been in that situation, but I would think that someone who has endured such a traumatic event would want the evidence to be processed as soon as possible.
Yes.
To move forward on possible case or cases.
Schimmel and Crawford again. Brad Schimmel, Susan Crawford running to replace outgoing liberal justice Ann Walsh Bradley. This will determine whether the Wisconsin Supreme Court keeps its 4-3 liberal majority or it flips back to a conservative majority. And I want to remind folks again, if we elect Brad Schimmel, we're going to go back to super gerrymandered maps. Mm. We will. Okay. We're going to go back to super gerrymandered maps, and we're going to go back to that 1849 abortion ban.
And there'll be a bunch of other things they'll repeal or revert, because it's just going to be now about going back and undoing all the work that's been done just in the past year and a half. So,
and going back is a good way to put it, because they want us to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Only, I don't know, a couple hundred years, 100 years.
They're asking
1849.
For, they're asking.
Things were so good back then.
It's not even 200 years, Jane. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Get on board. You're being emotional about it.
I am a lady.
You are.
You know, that's one of my flaws. The other thing to keep in mind, and this just broke yesterday, kind of in the middle of the show, Elon Musk, now all hot about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. This should make people go, what? Elon Musk, the world's richest man, has now waded into Wisconsin's Supreme Court race. Musk posted Tuesday on what used to be Twitter, quote, "very important to vote Republican for the Wisconsin Supreme Court to prevent voting fraud," unquote. There is no massive voting fraud, my friends. It has been in court over and over and over again. And I don't care what Mike Johnson says about how they know intuitively that there is massive voter fraud going on. There's no evidence about that. And if Republicans are to welcome Elon stepping into this, then I don't want to hear any more complaints about Zuckerbucks, although that's all gone.
No.
But remember the outcry about that?
Yeah.
When Mark Zuckerberg was leaning a little bit more Democratic? Those were the days. And it was Zuckerbucks. He's influencing it. We can't have that. But this is fine.
Well, and now the new Zuckerberg is just fine with them. And I will say if you want any idea of where Elon's politics are truly going, look at who he's backing over in Europe. He's backing far right candidates. I'll just say this. Elon, stay out of Wisconsin. You don't belong here. You have no business being in this state. You don't care about voter fraud because none of this affects you.
At all.
A billionaire hundreds of times over. Keep your nose out of this state because we don't want you. You are useless here.
I just want to hear the same amount of outrage from Republicans if Elon starts dumping a whole bunch of money into this race to buy this seat for Brad Schimmel. I'm sure Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu
and Brian Schimming
and all those, they will just be screeching about,
yeah,
this is not America. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are on the vast statewide, countrywide. We're global on the app, baby. Oh, yeah. On the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, But this is the big one. My take, this action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10 o'clock news, we're going to talk about ignorance is bliss. Really? And then all the best people, round two, of course, second Trump administration, some of his nominees for his cabinet going to be coming up for a vote later tonight. That is Pete Hegseth. We're going to have a little chat about Mr. Hegseth. Dan Schaefer will be here after 11 o'clock from the Recombobulation Area. He's also Civic Media's political editor. Number of things we're going to talk about with Dan, including Wisconsin connections to the Trump administration, Tammy Baldwin's vote on the Laken Riley Act, Tom Tiffany. Remember Tom?
Barely.
Tom Tiffany, big fan of the Apostle Islands.
Big fan of drilling and mining and development.
Yeah, that part of it. And Ron Johnson on tax stuff. And, of course, we're still going to talk about the fallout from that CBS 58 meteorologist who lost her job after criticizing Elon Musk for making a Nazi salute. That's all coming up with Dan Schaefer next hour. We will wrap everything up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the That Bites edition, so stick around for that. We do have a question on the live stream came in about, I have a new blog. Earth-shattering.
Okay.
It's about soup. It's about the soup saga.
Yeah.
You can find it. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, click on Matinair on Air, and you will find it there.
And if you want to know what it's referring to, you can always go back to civicmedia.us, click the shows page, and listen to the episodes where we covered the soup saga.
I have links in my blog about that.
There are soup links in the soup story. Jane Matinair, the soups. So it's like Soup Wars, and you're like Jane Skywalker, Jane Soup Walker.
Yeah, really.
I can see it up in lights right now.
Societal changing blogs. So that's what you're coming.
We're
going
to write a treatment after this and sell it to Hollywood.
Excellent. Right now, though, I wanted to do a little short segment about why can't we have nice things in Wisconsin? What is it? Headline reads from Cleo Critchie in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, $50 million to change how kids learn in Wisconsin could end up in state surplus.
Of course.
Without any action. Lawmakers have already agreed that we want schools to change the way they teach kids to read. This was approved last year.
Yeah.
And it is a mandated program.
Bipartisan support.
Which means schools have to implement this.
Which means schools implemented it.
They did implement this. The only thing they're lacking is the money to pay for the program mm-hmm. because the Joint Finance Committee continues to sit on the $50 million that's been approved. I'll say it again. The money has been approved, but the Joint Finance Committee in Wisconsin won't release it. If this money isn't spent by the end of June, guess what, Greg?
What, Jane?
It goes back into the state surplus.
Where $4.5 billion languishes.
Right now.
Just sits there doing nothing.
Yep.
Until Robin Voss can figure out a way to
give it to Diane Hendricks.
Maybe the E-lines as well. I mean,
this measure requires Wisconsin schools to shift to a phonics-based approach, which is how I learned how to read.
Yeah, me too.
Back in the dark ages. And I don't think that's a bad thing. The only thing, again, is that schools are mandated to implement this, and the Republicans in the legislature won't release the money. In February of last year, Governor Evers vetoed certain portions of Act 100 under which this money comes. GOP lawmakers sued in response, arguing that the governor's vetoes were unconstitutional. The governor countersued. A judge ruled in his favor but didn't authorize release of that $50 million. The legislature appealed that decision to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and that's where it is sitting.
Just trying to teach kids how to read, folks.
The $50 million would allow the state's Department of Public Instruction to create a new literacy office, a council on early curricula, a statewide literacy coaching program, and they could hire some reading specialists, which all sounds important if mm-hmm. we want to help our kids learn how to read, which is kind of important.
I feel like it's got good ramifications in the long run, kids reading. That's fine. That's great.
State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underle, along with a Republican lawmaker, Joel Kitchens, Republican from Sturgeon Bay, they both agree that that money should get released.
So what are we doing? Like, seriously.
Jill Underle says, "Our kids deserve better. I want to stand firmly with no malice on behalf of Wisconsin's children and educators, state legislators, release the money." This is why we can't have nice things.
And notice how she's had to say no malice, because you're making a bold claim like release the money to support the reading program, and you have to worry about blowback, pushback, and other things like that, like lawsuits. This is why we can't have nice things.
Release the money that you approved yep. and mandated for these programs, guys.
Which is just, by the way, folks, and I know we talk about it a lot, but if you're a new listener, this is just one of many things that have been approved by the State House where money is sitting there and it needs to be released, and it's not.
PFAS money. For people who have in Wisconsin who have been drinking bottled water for years because their water is poisoned, that money's still sitting in there.
Funding for hospitals.
Yeah, that money's still sitting in there, too. Yeah,
that's just, it's just sitting there.
And keep this in the back of your mind. Keep things like this in the back of your mind when you go to cast your vote for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
That plays a part in this as well.
Yes.
Cleansing breath.
I need a cleansing walk outside in the 0 degree weather just to like let the cold hit me and make me feel feelings again.
We have news coming up next when we return. Ignorance is bliss. We'll kick that around. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For News from the Center, 107.7 WRCE, I'm Jimmy Kuska. So far, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has counted 92 districts statewide that have committed to a referendum this spring. Five in February, including Mauston's $7 million referendum to keep the district from dissolving, and 87 more in April, including a nearly $70 million plan for facility improvements at Baraboo. River Valley, Riverdale, Weston, Dodgeville, Prairie du Chien, Viroqua, DeSoto, and New Lisbon are all seeking operational referendums this April as well. Law enforcement officials in Tennessee say there's a potential link between a Nashville shooting this week and one in Madison at Abundant Life Christian School last month. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
17-year-old Solomon Henderson was the shooter in Nashville this week. His social media account, according to ABC News, was followed by Natalie Rupnow, the Abundant Life Christian School shooter. Henderson, who allegedly killed a female student before taking his own life in a Nashville high school cafeteria, may also have interacted with Rupnow on social media prior to her attack in Madison last month.
Two people were killed and six were hurt in the Abundant Life Christian School shooting last month. This year's Green Bay Packers tailgate tour is coming to the Cooley region. The Packers announced yesterday a series of stops from April 8th through the 12th, which will include a stop in Onalaska on April 10th. The Onalaska stop is hosted by the Hunger Task Force at the Stony Creek Hotel. Tickets for the stop are available on the Hunger Task Force website. Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, Lucas Van Ness, Amon Green, Jermichael Finley, John Michaels, and Mark Murphy will appear on the tour. A second major musical event is coming to Camp Randall Stadium in Madison this year. Morgan Wallen will play the venue on June 28th with Miranda Lambert and Ella Langley. It'll be the first concert at Camp Randall since 1997. Last fall, Coldplay announced they would be making a stop at the venue, which is the home of the Wisconsin Badgers. Coldplay's first Wisconsin appearance since 2009 will happen on July 19th. Tickets will go on sale next week on Morgan Wallen's website as well as uwbadgers.com. For WRCE, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. We are hitting the height of award season buzz. The granddaddy of them all, the Academy Awards, are right around the corner, and the nominations are officially out. Let's start off in the category everyone is on pins and needles about, Best Sound. Just kidding. There's pretty much something for everyone, as 10 films from several genres have been recognized in the Best Picture category. Leading the nominations this year is the foreign film Emilia Perez with 13 nominations. The musical tells the story of a drug kingpin struggling with gender-affirming issues. Close behind Emilia were The Brutal List and Wicked with 10 nominations apiece. Conclave and A Complete Unknown also made an impressive showing with 8 noms each. Rounding out the nominees in the Best Picture category were independent films Nickel Boys, Anora, The Substance, I'm Still Here, and the blockbuster Dune 2. There is your list of movies to check out before March 2. You have 6 weeks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today with a bit of light snow possible late in the day. Highs near 20. Look for that breeze to pick up as well. For tonight, continued breezy with still a bit of light snow possible early. Mostly cloudy skies otherwise with lows in the upper teens. Currently, it's 5 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipwitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Hey, hockey fans, tonight, Wisconsin against Michigan. Game starts, our broadcast rather, starts tonight at 6:30. You can listen on WFHR and 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids. You want to listen to that hockey action tonight. Wisconsin at Michigan, our broadcast starts at 6:30 tonight on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Coming up after 11 o'clock, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We're going to wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Well, That Bites edition. And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. You can use that same email if there's a guest you think would be good for us to have on, if there's something going on in your community that you think needs some highlights, just let us know. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Right before we went to the news, we were talking about why can't we have nice things in Wisconsin? Because Republicans just don't want to move on anything. And a good reminder, too, this is from Scott Bauer, who works for the Associated Press. Let's just remember this. Republicans who control the state Senate still, in his second term, have not confirmed 11 of Governor Evers' 17 cabinet secretaries. One of these people is in her fifth year of working for the administration and still has not had her position confirmed.
This is just a, this is just like the junk they pull in Washington when Mitch McConnell ran the play. I mean, it's not going to stop either, but like this whole thing of, yeah, we don't have to do it. What do you mean we don't have to do it? Like there's a dead Supreme Court justice. Well, we won't fill it. We don't have to. It's fine. But meanwhile, once again, if let's say the Democrats ran the Senate, state Senate, and
did the same thing,
Governor Tim Michaels, I'll pull a name out, Tim Michaels was in the same position, they would be unloading holy terror on every right-wing radio station,
yes,
newspaper,
yes,
every outlet would be like, how dare they do this.
Going against the will of the people.
Going against the will of the people. In a representative democracy, talking to you, Robin Voss, this is the voice of the people that's been silenced. They'd be wetting their pampers over this.
There's no question.
But they do this all the time. And in the last segment, the Joint Finance Committee, controlled by, wait for it, Republicans, are holding back money for who? The people.
Money that's been approved.
Our money, tax money. It's just so infuriating. And sometimes I want to shake Democrats and be like, do something.
Make some noise about this.
Yes.
Make some noise about it. All right, we're going to move on to, ignorance is bliss. Is it? Headline reads from the Washington Post, Trump officials pause health agencies' communications. These agencies are charged with making decisions that affect the lives of every American, including here in Wisconsin, and are the source of crucial information to healthcare providers. So think about this. The Trump administration, beginning of this week, told federal health agencies to stop all external communications. So that means health advisories, weekly scientific reports, updates to websites, all stopped. The more we know, the less we know, the better off we are, apparently.
That old NBC thing, the stars just crashing into the ground, the less you know.
Staffers at the Department of Health and Human Services, including the FDA, the Centers for Disease Control, and the National Institute of Health, just a day after the administration took office, were told they're doing some reviews. And so for right now, we're not going to communicate anything. This includes scientific reports from the CDC, including the annual mortality weekly report. These advisories get sent out to doctors' clinics on the CDC Health Alert Network about public health incidents. You know, there's this little thing called bird flu that's kind of floating around.
Yeah, it's a hoax.
Oh, is it a hoax?
Yeah, people find, do you got a bird? You don't got a bird, you don't have to worry about it. The birds won't touch you. Like, it's just so frustrated by this.
They've stopped data updates to the CDC website. Public health data releases from the National Center for Health Statistics. That organization tracks a whole bunch of health trends, including drug overdoses. The CDC was supposed to publish several reports this week, including three about the avian flu outbreak. And now we're not going to get those while the Trump administration is doing its review.
Oh, now they're taking their time. They didn't take their time reviewing all of the sentences for all the J6 guys. They're just like, hey, you're free.
Oh, we don't have time for that.
But this is going to deserve a fine-tooth comb.
Right, right. They didn't have time. It was too onerous to go over the January 6th attackers case by case, Greg. Too onerous. Too much. 1,500 whole cases, Greg. They don't have time for that. So he just gave them all a blanket pardon. It's not clear from the new administration's guidance on whether this directive will affect more urgent communications like, I don't know, foodborne disease outbreaks, drug approvals, and new avian bird flu cases. Don't tell them.
I'm just going to say this. If COVID was any indication, and that's when there were guardrails on him, when he had experts next to him, telling him, hey, stop telling people to eat light and rub their bodies in bleach. There are no guardrails anymore. If there is anything coming close to a pandemic happening, when will we find out? And the problem is it'll be outside sources telling us, and then no one will be believed because they are part of the left-wing agenda to brainwash us and turn us into mindless zombies of the left.
The ramifications from this are massive. Massive.
There's already so many dead people from COVID on his hands because of the way they handled this thing. We got 4 years. Things happen in time. A bird flu happening. This happens once or twice a year. What's the justification? And why will there never be any responsibility taken by them?
Well, don't forget Project 2025, which, of course, if your friends hadn't heard about it, it's not important.
No,
it's not
going to
happen.
No.
If I haven't heard about it, then it doesn't mean anything. That's some of the responses we heard when we were talking about Project 2025. In Project 2025, they call for any scientific findings that do not align with the opinion of the administration should be removed.
Yeah. Yep.
So anything that counters the prevailing message out of the White House, even though that messaging might be accurate, they're going to remove it.
And the CDC generally, they're one of their big goals is accuracy. So we won't be probably seeing anything coming from them anytime soon. They'll just, I don't know, just maybe they'll get a new, maybe they'll get reassigned to another case. Maybe they'll just get new jobs. I mean, that's the thing is I know somebody who works in the government and they're looking for a new job right now, not because they think they're going to be fired, because they know that their life's just going to get boring because they can't do the work they want to do.
Well, they want to stop all. Bob Kennedy has already talked about stopping all cancer research for at least 2 years. 855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack on the line. Good morning, sir. What do you want to chime in about this?
Yeah, you already kind of beat me to it on part of it. The Project 2025 stuff. I mean, basically, one of the premises, I don't have the exact quote, but it said that all scientific findings and regulatory findings and so on and so forth must be in alignment with quote-unquote conservative principles.
Yeah.
And as a scientist, this is one of the most frightening things I've ever heard because, of course, anything that, as you said, anything that doesn't align with what the administration wants you to know, well, we'll just squash it and we'll look for findings that support our position, no matter what, how inaccurate the source might be, no matter how questionable those findings might be. I mean, this is one of the most dangerous things that I see. And in terms of physical dangers to the entire U.S.
This is dangerous for all of us, Jack.
This is dangerous to the world.
It is. Absolutely.
I was going to say, I'm not a very smart man, apparently. And, Jack, I'm glad you brought up the whole must align with conservative values. And when I think conservative values, one of the first things I think, top of the list, maybe, pro-life. Now, take that notion, that value. Wouldn't we want our CDC to be the shining beacon on the hill of research and development so we could inform, protect, and keep life? That just seems very in line with a pro-life standard. Not so much this keep everything in the darkness, squash research, don't tell the people about what's going on, because, you know, that's when people, I don't know, die.
Jack, it's kind of like the old saying about growing mushrooms. You just keep them in the dark and you feed them crap.
Yeah. That's very, very familiar. There are two major other issues besides the CDC stuff. One of which is, of course, global warming, and the other is environmental degradation. And conservative principles basically say, yeah, let's just let the environment, corporations and big business do whatever they want
yep.
to, including mm-hmm. whatever they want to with the environment.
Yep. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate your calling and always for listening. Laura from Wisconsin Rapids on the text line. I'm worried about our food. Pork recalls, beef recalls, bird flu in chickens and eggs, by the way. Veggies and fruits are going to be affected by the manure fertilizer as well. I am very worried.
But yet they're all going crazy because they banned red dye number 3. And they think, oh boy, here comes Robert F. Kennedy getting rid of all these other seed oils. You're next.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if Robert Kennedy gets confirmed. Tammy Baldwin did meet with him. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about this with Dan Schaefer a little bit after 11 o'clock. And said that she's, after meeting with Robert Kennedy Jr., she's even more concerned about him getting confirmed to head our health agencies. The guy who has no medical experience, no medical background. He's a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer.
I mean, there's Juris Doctor in the title, but not doctor of anything worth anything here. But yeah, but he's the guy who's going to say, why? Because he does push-ups and he has abs. Oh, my God. I know people who do push-ups and ads have abs. I would never let them near my health.
When we return.
If we return, I might just run away.
We're going to talk all the best people. Round 2 in the Trump administration, Pete Hegseth, to lead our Department of Defense. The vote is expected to come up for him tonight. 2 Republicans coming out formally against him. I'll tell you why that's not going to make any difference, and he will get confirmed. That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way. I've seen all good people turn their heads.
Good morning, welcome, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and the platform, that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, Dan Schaefer, author of The Recombobulation Area, and also Civic Media's political editor, will be joining us. We'll be talking about a number of things happening in Wisconsin. We're also going to touch on the manliest of manly men, Jesse Waters.
Oh, he's saying things again.
Yes, Jesse Waters from Fox has thoughts on more manly man thoughts.
He should release a book.
Of the manliest manly thoughts from a manly man.
A manly book about manly thoughts. Oh, for manly men.
For manly men, there's so much potential there. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Yeah, guys, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yep.
Because if you do this, according to testicle bronzing Jesse Waters, you're not a manly man. So
sorry.
We're just trying to help you.
Yeah, I mean,
just trying to help. All the best people, round two. Donald Trump, of course, said in his first administration he was going to surround himself with all the best people, not counting the fastest turnaround of staffers, I think, in the history of the presidency.
He had 44 cabinet members.
Yeah. Whoosh. Oh, that one's gone. Whoop, yep. That. Oh, we lost another one. Now, among the best people this time around, Pete Hegseth, of course. The 44-year-old former Fox Weekend host, which totally qualifies him, wants to head up the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
Pete allegedly has had a few drinking problems in the past.
He has a drinking problem.
He has had some, lots of sexual infidelity problems. Now he's found Jesus, so that's all in the past. That's like the get out of jail free card for everything.
Ask Russell Brand.
Yeah, no, we could do a whole show about that. Pete Hegseth has admitted he had a non-disclosure agreement with a woman who accused him of raping her. He paid her $50,000 and also has a non-disparagement clause for his ex-wife. She cannot publicly speak ill of him. That's in their divorce agreement. Her sister
doesn't.
Her sister doesn't. And has had some very interesting things to say about what life was like for her sister when married to Pete Hegseth. Yeah. She had a safe word. She had a safe word that she would use with friends and family when she needed to get away from him because she was afraid of him. But that's all. He's so qualified, Greg.
I mean, Jane, I don't even know if I believe it. I feel like...
Well,
I,
you know, you're right along with Senator Tom Tillis.
Oh, he gets it? He gets the real world?
Senator Tom Tillis, Republican from North Carolina, says he will support Pete Hegseth to run our military unless, quote, there is firsthand corroborated testimony on his alleged spousal abuse and sex crimes. So if there was no one to witness him attacking his wife or sexually assaulting someone, it's not valid. There's no proof.
That's the same junk I heard people say when Bill Cosby was being accused of sexually assaulting and raping.
Repeated.
Like 4 dozen women. Was, you weren't there. Oh, so I have to have...
Witness.
I have to have a firsthand witness to, and even though women said that it had happened, that's not good enough.
Well, no.
So the sister who can't speak because of, by the way, folks, if you have to put a non-disparaging clause into your divorce agreement, you're probably a piece of trash.
Well, that just, it raises some questions.
Yeah. Like, how terrible is Pete Hegseth? I mean, that's just a general broad question. But if the sister, if her testimony, you know, just isn't good enough.
Right. No. And again, Senator Tillis will only accept firsthand corroboration. So people have to witness the rape, the sexual assault. Otherwise, it didn't happen. So I guess in the only instance that Senator Tom Tillis would be happy with is the French man who invited men to rape his unconscious wife for about a decade. So that would be a witness involved. And you know what? In that case, they were found guilty.
Yeah.
So I guess there's
justice. I have a feeling that Senator Tillis still wouldn't buy it. When you put up such roadblocks, such a slalom to get through, it's like you were going to vote for him anyways. Pete Hegseth could say, I did that. And you'd probably be like, you've learned your lesson.
Oh, he had a reason.
You love Jesus.
Well, she wanted it.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah.
And Susan Collins.
Oh, God.
They can bite me. Yeah. I'm sorry, but they've said they're not going to vote for him. The deciding vote is going to go to J.D. Vance. Pete Hegseth will get confirmed.
Which one of those two do you think is actually going to vote for him, though? Because they've said this before. They have...
Well, they both voted for Brett Kavanaugh. They both approved Brett Kavanaugh.
They have been nothing but disappointments to democracy, probably just for like a solid 15, 20 years now, where they talk a good game, and at the end they bend and break. And I wouldn't be surprised if one, if not both of them, vote for Pete Hegseth and give some sort of excuse of like, well, we really talked about it, and we felt he was the best guy for the job.
Joni Ernst is going to vote for him, and she is a sexual assault survivor. News is coming up next. And then when we return, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel will discuss how to defend the Constitution. Also, how many pardoned J6ers violently attacked police officers? And what's in the RFK and MLK Jr. assassination files? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, Give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. U.S. troops are on the way to the southern border now that President Trump has ordered them to patrol the area. The military is also spearheading deportation flights and military aircraft.
The Department of Homeland Security routinely has deportation flights, so we're not sure yet whether there's actually more people being deported than usual, but they definitely look different. These flights look different because now they are using military aircraft and getting support from the Pentagon to do them.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. President Trump has arrived in Asheville, North Carolina. He'll be touring damage from last year's devastating hurricanes. Later today, the president travels to wildfire-ravaged Southern California. The Senate planning to vote on Pete Hegseth, President Trump's nominee for defense secretary, tonight. Republicans confident that they have the votes. Hamas has named the next four female hostages to be released on Saturday. Israel requesting the names not be published until the families of the hostages have been notified. This is ABC News.